The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette. Young people who are on fire with enthusiasm for Ron Paul's message about freedom often ask him about how they can be effective and about pursuing a career in politics. We'll find out what he tells them when we talk about politics, political careers, and political action next.
How would you like to do something that's good for you and good for America? Well, you can, just by shopping like you normally do. You see, just about everybody uses Amazon these days, because it's so easy. But from now on, when you're going to shop on Amazon, go to the PodcastOne.com Ron Paul page and click on the Amazon link there. When you do, a portion of whatever you buy gets kicked back to the Ron Paul Show to help keep the podcast coming and keep us from having to run tons and tons of ads. So we can be selective and focus on getting you Ron's message. So do it. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on the Ron Paul page, and click on Amazon. The next time you're going to buy something, use that link. You'll be helping yourself because you're buying something you want, and helping America because you're helping keep Ron Paul's messages coming. And there's no extra costs involved. You pay the same price. It's the same Amazon. If you want to help out even more, tell your friends to do the same thing. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on Ron Paul, then click on the Amazon link. You'll be glad you did.
Dr. Paul, on The Tonight Show, you told Jay Leno that your advice to your son Rand about running for president in 2016 was to be very cautious. He could get elected. What do you tell students and others about a career in politics and running for office?
Well, actually, that answer comes from something my wife told me the first time I said I was going to run for Congress. She told me, you better be careful because it's dangerous. You could get elected, because at that time I had no thoughts of being elected, and it was sort of an opportunity for me to just talk about, you know, the issues about monetary policy and government in general. But I do get a lot of young people coming, especially as I visit the campuses, because they do get fascinated with this. And all of a sudden they see the whole message coming together with how the freedom philosophy deals with foreign policy and domestic economic policy and personal liberties. So they want to, they're usually so often they're political science students. They've been interested in politics. So the natural inclination is what do I do to run for office? What do I do to become a congressman? And I usually tell them, don't even set that as your goal. Running for office and being a congressman should be very, very secondary. The first thing is to be inquisitive, to analyze what our problems are in this country and how the freedom philosophy can answer these questions. And not only to learn about this and study Austrian free market economics, but also how to explain them. Mises, the great Austrian economist, talked about, you know, the academicians who can write, but others have to take it and make these ideas palatable. That's the word he used, palatable to the general population. So that is a job. You can be an academician. You can participate in media events. You can be in politics. You can do everything, but I urge them not to set just being in Washington as a goal, because that's how most of them get there, and that's why we have so many problems in Washington today.
Well, dozens of your supporters from cities and states across the land have run for office, everything from precinct to committeeman to offices in Washington. I'm skeptical of politicians until they've proven to me for 10 or 20 years in office that they can be relied upon. But how do you judge the results so far of people that have jumped on the Ron Paul bandwagon?
You know, even though I've given this strong caution about not setting that as their goal, and so many still do win, and I don't discourage that. I think that's very good. And I think there's been a net benefit. But some of that motivation has been when the supporters found out how distorted the efforts were and how unfair they seemed to be and how they got pushed around and kicked out of convention. So human nature is you want to fight back, and fighting back is getting involved and getting your friends out, learning what the rules are and going in there and trying to have an influence. I'd place some of that in the category of having a little fun, too. You might not think that political action per se is the total answer, because I think philosophy is getting people to understand why free markets work. But in the process, just as I ran for office the very first time in 1974, it was for my benefit as much as anything to get something off my chest. And for individuals to be involved and have some token victories. You know, there were several states that they did quite well. I mean, I was in politics, I was running, and it was serious, so it's understandable. I just don't want that to be the first goal. I want the first goal to be to change people's minds, because when there is a prevailing attitude, say, on Keynesian economics, which has been drilled into decades and decades of individuals, so everybody is a Keynesian that's in government almost. So I see the changes in Washington coming when everybody believes in free markets and sound money and civil liberties and a non-interventionist foreign policy. And I think that's where we see some progress, even though I don't discourage those who get directly involved in politics. But just think of how we've had some minor victories, with holding off on the bombing of Syria. And right now, our government's actually talking to the Iranians. I think this is a reflection of people's attitudes being changed. And also, we've made progress on educating people on the Federal Reserve. I mean, it's been around for 100 years, but it's the last 5 years that people started talking about it. And even as we speak, they talk about Yellen becoming a chairman of the Federal Reserve, and they're asking a question, are you going to support audit the Fed? So that's a change of ideas, but the two are connected. But I think overall, the ideas are more important than just political action. What I want to guard against is people getting involved in political action for the sake of being, a member of Congress and think that's end all ends, and I don't believe that.
It's a little bit disheartening to think that we seem to have a crisis or a calamity, really, before people wake up. I can remind you, I don't know if you'll remember, back in 1984, actually speaking with you about creating a committee to abolish the Fed, but nobody would have been interested. Now, in the wake of the calamity that the Fed has created in the last 5 and 10 years, more and more people are drawn to that idea. But it's the same with the war, isn't it? It took the calamity, the disaster that was the Iraq War, to get people to have a belly full and to be reluctant to go on a new venture in Syria.
Yeah, I don't think people were ready in 1984, although we were just coming out of the disaster of the 70s and sort of trying to smooth things out with the breakdown of the Bretton Woods and the rampant inflation. But Volcker sort of saved the day, at least temporarily so. So they weren't ready for a serious change. But also, the study and understanding and education of Austrian economics had not, gone too far. But since that time, I mean, matter of fact, the Mises Institute was started about that time in the early 1980s, and they've had a lot of influence, and there have been other organizations. So the intellectual pursuit has been very beneficial, but I think those events have made the conditions much different. And also, these ideas are moving much quicker now, because it's with the internet. Obviously, in the last 4 or 5 years, my involvement has been not to change the Republican Party, but I hear from people around the world, because they're talking about, because they're facing the same problems around the world. So it's a real challenge. And the 20th century proved that communism doesn't work. And so far, this century, I'm hoping, is designed to prove that government planning and bureaucracy and fiat money and welfareism and intervention is failing. And that is opening the door, and that's why we should be excited about what's happening today.
Dr. Paul, I remember you're saying that when you first thought about running for office, you talked with the late Larry McDonald, who I knew as well, the congressman and physician from Georgia who was aboard KAL Flight 007 that was shot down by the Soviets in 83. And he advised you, as I recall, to run in whichever party you thought you could get elected. The point being that the parties don't really stand for much in this process.
No, that was his advice. And it was strange that I would go to somebody in the Democratic Party, even after I won the election as a Republican and went there. He's the one I would go because he had a little bit of experience and I couldn't trust, the leadership. But, I remember one vote that I cast that involved Larry. It was in 76, and I think Ford was pushing a flu vaccine. The world was coming to an end if we didn't appropriate money and immediately have a national inoculation for flu. And he and I, the two doctors in the Congress at the time, voted against it. And yet it turned out that the shots killed more people than the flu did. But he was an independent, and that is what we needed. And therefore, people should go where it's best. Some people say, well, you ran as a libertarian. Why don't you keep running as a libertarian? I said, well, you know, parties are secondary. The system is biased because, you know, in third parties, you can't get on balance. But if you want to do it, that's fine. Work hard and do the best you can. So I never discourage people from working within the Libertarian Party or for that matter, the Green Party. You know, I want competition. And today there isn't any. The presidential debates are controlled by a committee made up of Republicans and Democrats. So unless you're a billionaire and you buy your way in, you're not going to get in the debates. And the media's designed mainly to promote the status quo of big government spending, the military-industrial complex, and the Federal Reserve. So you don't get much help there either. But I think that it depends on the individual. You know, when I first thought about running, before I even talked to Larry McDonald, I went to somebody to check out the law and how I could run as an independent, because that was my natural instinct, run as an independent. But it's very difficult. So somebody who wants to be independent can run as a Democrat or Republican or Libertarian. If you get in office, just stay independent.
Well, you've made a great point throughout your career that the intellectual revolution comes first. It precedes the political revolution. You've made a big, big difference in the intellectual revolution in the lives of an awful lot of people. Thank you, Dr. Paul. Another great conversation and podcast, Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Guyette.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.